we come to our time of prayer, or our to our scripture reading. Our scripture reading today is from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible translation. Again, this is Matthew 21, starting with verse 1. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that their master needs them." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It is the prophet Nazareth from prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, when I first had the opportunity to meet you all, to meet the congregation at Hazelwood, the way it worked was we had a Sunday where I joined you all in worship, and then there was a meal afterwards, a congregational meeting to introduce me to you. And what happened was I snuck in right after worship had begun, and then after we'd worshiped together, we walked out, and things weren't quite ready in Cartwright Hall for the meal yet, and so people were still hanging out in the Solanke Commons area, and so I went up to a group of people who were gathered at one of the pub tables, and I said, "Hello, and something about the weather or a nice day, or I don't even remember what I said, just small talk kind of stuff." And eventually, I don't remember who it was, but eventually one person said, "Who are you?" Which is a good question, I think. You didn't know who I was up to that point. You'd never seen a picture of me or anything like that. And here's this tall guy just coming up out of nowhere and starting to talk, making small talk with you. And so one of you just said, "Who is this? Who are you?" My first week as I worked here at the congregation, first week or two, our offices were still over in the fellowship house. And I was going in at 8 in the morning. It was a weekday. And someone was parked outside that back door that we usually used to go in, and was bringing some things in. And so as I was coming in, I asked, I said, "Would you like some help bringing these things in?" And the person said, "Who are you?" And I exclaimed, I explained, I'm the new pastor. Oh, okay. And then everything was fine. But that question of who are you, I think is a very powerful question. I don't know who you are. I need to know. If I'm going to interact with you, if I'm going to have some, I need to have some sense of your identity. I need to know, who are you? One time when I was in seminary, my brother-in-law, who travels for his work, he called and he was in town for a meeting and he wanted to see if we wanted to get together. And he and I have a good and friendly relationship, but we don't necessarily really chat outside of family gatherings. And he's on the phone and he says, "This is Matt." And I'm thinking, is there a Matt from school I know? Is there a Matt from my church? I'm scanning my brain for all of the Matts that I know. And I think he sensed my confusion because he said, "Your brother-in-law, your sister's husband." And then, "Oh yeah, yeah, okay, now I understand." And then all of a sudden there was connection and understanding. And but when you don't know that, when you don't know who the person is, that's different. Sometimes we need just a little bit of clarity, don't we? And the "who are you," that clarifies things. Well, we are here on Palm Sunday, as you know, and This, of course, is a different kind of Palm Sunday. We don't have the kids marching in at the first hymn, and we're not able to hand out the branches to everyone as we typically do. But this is still, even though we're doing it differently, this is still Palm Sunday, and this is still the day that Holy Week begins. And in this week, we remember the most important things about our faith. And we begin this week with this event, remembering Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Now, if you've hung around church for a number of years, you probably know the story. Jesus sends his disciples out to commandeer a couple of animals, a colt and a donkey, and Jesus rode one of them, and people spread their coats on the animals and also on the road. That would have been sort of their outer garment that they placed upon the road. They also cut the palm branches, which I've got a few here from the trees. Now, Jerusalem had seen lots of conquering leaders parade into the city like this. They'd seen lots of conquering warriors come into the city through the centuries. But this way, as Jesus enters, it's more humble. It's more gentle. But we still have a crowd. And since the whole city is in turmoil, as Jesus comes in with this crowd, and they ask, "Who is this?" Now, I've preached probably more than 20 Palm Sundays through the years, and I don't know if I've ever paid attention to this part of the story, the question the crowd is asking, saying, "Who is this?" Now, we've probably all been there a time or two. A crowd is gathered somewhere in a public place. Maybe someone is performing. Being tall comes in handy in situations like that. You can kind of see over things, and you can see what's going on, but someone is performing in a public area. It was a number of years ago, but I was in Boulder, Colorado, and the downtown has sort of an open air place where people can gather. The streets are close to traffic. And there was a crowd of people around a guy. And as we got closer, it was a guy who had amazingly all of the zip codes in the United States memorized in his head. And so you could say, well, whatever zip code you were from, 47303, and he would tell you, say, oh, you're from Muncie, Indiana, and maybe even say something about the town. And it sounds crazy, but I saw it, and I even looked him up this week. He's still out there. This is a thing that he does. He just knows all of the zip codes. Well, there was a crowd gathered, and we kind of came up and said, okay, you know, what is this? What's going on? Well, that's what's happening here as Jesus enters the city. People are gathered. They're saying, who is this? Now, earlier in the story, Jesus asks his disciples the same thing. He asks his disciples, he says, who do people say that I am? Which is kind of like just saying, okay, what's the word on the street about me? And they say, well, some say you are John the Baptist come back. Some say you are Elijah returned. And Jesus says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? It's a question of identity. And you know, you probably are familiar. Peter says, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gives the right answer. Well, here as Holy Week begins, as this special week begins, it's worth asking that question. Who is this? Who do we say Jesus is? We think we know. We assume we know. But here through this week, Jesus teaches us who he is. We assume in this world that power is found in dominance and overbearance, but Jesus instead, he teaches us, he washes his disciples' feet. He teaches them that true power is found in service and in love. We find Jesus this week meeting with his followers around the table, teaching us about the value of connection and self-giving. We think that the world is made safe through power and violence, but Jesus gives himself willingly to a cross and death. We decide that things look dim and awful and we give up on everything, but the empty tomb that we'll celebrate in a week on Easter tells us that even when everything seems awful and over, God isn't done with the story yet. We think we know Jesus, but this week reacquaints us with him. This week, as we journey with Jesus, it changes our perspective. So I want to ask you a very basic question this week. It's the question of our Bible text. Who is this? Who is this Jesus guy? Do your best to wipe the slate clean in your mind. Go into this week with an open perspective. Open your heart to this person. You might find that you meet Jesus in a new way. You might see what was there in front of you the whole time, but somehow you didn't see it all along, but now this time you see it. If you ask yourself, who is this? You might meet someone new who changes our view on life, who changes how we live, who gives us new hope and new life. You might be surprised with who we meet. We see here on Palm Sunday a commotion, a stirring up, a crowd gathering. We see Jesus entering the city, but if we join with the crowd and if we follow him, if we just not only follow the parade, but if we follow him to the upper room where he gathers with his disciples, to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the trial before Pontius Pilate, to the long walk with the cross, to the crucifixion there outside the city, to the death, to the tomb, and to the empty tomb this next week. If we do so and ask, who is this? We might be surprised who we meet. Amen. Well, sisters and brothers, I want to invite you to discipleship, to know Jesus, but I also invite you to giving. And I've been so impressed with the giving that we have received here around the church, the gifts that have poured in, even as we're not able to meet together physically. And so I simply invite you to continue to give in whatever way that you can. And I invite you to know Jesus as well. We usually have an invitation to discipleship in our worship. And if you would choose to follow Jesus as a part of this church, I invite you to get in touch with me, and we can together work that out, and together we will welcome you into faith as a part of this church. So if you choose that, I invite you to get in touch with me. But as we do so, I invite you to join together in our communion hymn.